Welcome, everyone, to the Scale Lab, brought to you by TechLeap. I'm Joe Wilson, and today is a special edition, where normally we're talking to entrepreneurs about their entrepreneurial story. Today, we're deep diving on one of the topics near and dear to their heart, money. And with a special edition comes a special co-host. We gave Constantine the day off and invited the fantastic Evelyn. Evelyn, maybe you can introduce yourself and then introduce our guests.
Absolutely. Thanks, Joe. So my name is Evelyn de Vries. There is unfortunately no royal pedigree to that whatsoever. My surname is sort of the Smith version of the Netherlands. I'm the capital lead within TechLeap, which means that I work together with founders and investors to improve the access to capital in the Netherlands. And because that's indeed what we're going to talk about, capital, money, and all those things, that's why I'm here as your co-host.
Yep.
So today we have two very interesting seed investors. We have Reshma Sohoni, founding partner at Seedcamp. Reshma co-founded Seedcamp back in 2007. And Seedcamp is a European pre-series A fund within its portfolio unicorns such as Revolut, TransferWise, and UiPath. And also some Dutch companies there, such as GameEye and Baserow. Reshma, welcome. Before I move on to introduce our next guest, I already have one question for you. So you've been an investor already for quite some time, but what if tomorrow you wake up as a brand new startup founder? What would your startup be and which problem would you be solving?
Oh gosh, what a great question. Probably somewhere in two areas, one I know probably more about than the other, but I gravitate to more enterprise companies, which kind of shows maybe why UiPath really gravitated to that, but also fintech and so Revolut and TransferWise, right? Originally back then, one of those two areas, I would say, probably more financial services and thinking about kind of next gen of fintech.
Awesome. Thanks. And so our next guest is Peter Kamps from Sequoia. So Sequoia Capital is one of the top performing funds out of Silicon Valley with an iconic portfolio, including Apple, Google and YouTube, but also UiPath. Recently invested in not strictly a Dutch company, but a company with a Dutch founder, Remote. Peter, you are Dutch too, but you're not based here. You joined Sequoia around 8 years ago as one of its first members of the Southeast Asia investment team, where you focus on seed investment, and you're also a core member of Surge, Sequoia's accelerator for early stage startups in that region. Peter, welcome to you too.
Lovely to be here.
So same question for you. Which startup would be your startup tomorrow?
Reshma started with B2B. I'm like, maybe we can be co-founders. But like then you mentioned fintech, and we've made investments in fintech, and I've been involved in quite a few companies in that space. But recently also looking quite a bit at climate tech. So if I were to start something, it would be in that space, and it would be B2B as well.
So guys, we'll try and keep three general categories to the conversation. We'll do one part, which is sort of like, how do you find each other? Again, from the entrepreneur's point of view, how do you find each other, you and the deals that you do? How do you decide, which ones you're going to pick and what's your conviction in that space? And then finally, what's it like to work together? And just a couple of questions in each one of those spaces.
Yeah, so moving to the first one, actually finding each other. I mean, both Sequoia and Seedcamp, they're seen as big names, right? So quality founders probably already know their way to you. But we often hear also that the best founders will be picked up by investors more proactively. How do you deal with this, since you're both in early stage as well? Because there's a lot of ground to cover. Maybe Reshma, I can start with you.
Sure. And I think you'll hear a lot of my answers kind of having two aspects. One is that 15-year history and the authenticity of kind of how we began, who we are, of course, evolved to 15 years later. And the second is, I think, different to other funds, knowing that we are a very sort of, we need to scale. We invest in 100 companies per fund, 30, 40 companies a year. Everything we think about in helping founders, finding companies we want to invest in, all of it has to be almost built as a product. So you'll hear my answers probably along that lines. It's like very productized. So two, how do we find? We have very much a product-led approach to that. We have three ways that we really find companies. One continues to be authentically 2007, which is we have a website type form. Companies who don't know us at all can come in and apply. And people say, are you sure that's still happening, and absolutely several investments a year, still are completely blind. The second big prong is being there 15 years later. We have a seed camp nation of 1,000+ founders, 10,000+ employees in our companies, all of that. So there's a lot of referral. And the third one, which probably we won't talk about as much, but it's there, is the outbound, is we're really out there hunting as well, because we do have sectors that we are quite curious about, that we think are going to be impactful for the 10 to 20 year journey, as a beginning for our companies. So we are out there across multiple platforms, really out there hunting for signals from the noise of what is on a variety of those platforms. So those three, and we really, again, productize those to scale to kind of what we need to see, which is a few thousand a year in order to invest in 40.
Peter, do you also hunt?
We do a lot, actually. And I think, broadly, these things are the same for many investors. And so the topics that were just being mentioned are very true. Just before we started, Joe, you said, "Hey, Peter, are you with me?" Because you saw me on my phone. That was actually a founder pinging me.
Yeah.
And that founder had reached out cold to us. We invested.
Yeah.
She sent me an email and we liked her and we brought her in on a Tuesday and we spent a whole Saturday with her and we gave her a term sheet the week after.
Yeah.
And she just pinged me saying, "Hey, this friend of mine is starting a business. He really wants to be part of what you guys are doing with Surge. And can I introduce you?" Right. And so that's an example of what Reshma was talking about just now. And so there is a lot of network and founders referring that is happening. There's a lot of outbound where I'm still doing outbound. I'm still going to events. I'm still speaking at podcasts. I'm still getting your name out there. And that, leads to inbound in a way. We also have analysts in our organization that do a lot of on the ground hunting as well. We're also doing a lot of data science, and that is looking up at signals. So I can pretty much in our systems type in a name of a company, and I can very quickly get access to certain signals about a business. The other day, there's even like proactive emails being sent by the system. And so there was a company I saw in December, and back then there was little traction. And now suddenly it says, "Hey, you should like check back in with this company because so-and-so is happening." And we reach back out. And so that is almost a productized way that Reshma was talking to. The way we normally invest is less programmatic. But that started to change when we launched Surge, which is more of a seed program that we launched about 3 years ago. So with that, we also have like an application process, and companies come through that as well. So we have some very like very promising early stage companies where we did a seed within a year and a half, raised a Series A, now raised another Series B that purely came inbound. And this is actually a thing that a lot of the companies we invest in are spending time on content marketing.
Yeah.
We don't think about it as content marketing, but we put a lot of webinars out there and a lot of sessions that we do. And this was a founder that had, seen three of our sessions where we talk about how, helping founders on pitching or navigating venture or other stuff. And she'd seen three of these and then she heard about Surgeon and she applied and then
came
we invested
way.
Seed.
Right? So let's switch from sort of this kind of finding thing into the conviction was the word we used here, but maybe it's the commitment or how do you get into or make that decision? These are the ones we want to work with.
Yeah, so when we speak to investors, we hear that sometimes the best investment opportunities, many of those that are like 100x return, are often the deals where there is maybe no consensus within the firm and that the ideas or companies are just not an obvious fit. I do love the Bessemer anti-portfolio page there. Would you agree? And if so, how do you get a deal like that through the IC? Peter, we can start with you.
Yeah, sure. I agree with that. The best investments are often not consensus. Even within Sequoia, we speak about that and we often talk about Airbnb, the seed investment that Sequoia, our US team led. Imagine like right now everyone is used to the concept, but back then it was like sleeping on the sofa in the room of a stranger that you've never met, like safety, like all sorts of concerns. Like I'm sure that more than half of the room were like over my dead body. But and that comes to the next part of your question. if someone is really thumping the table, if someone has conviction, and specifically if that person has shown judgment in the past, at least within Sequoia, you can get a lot of rope.
So somebody falls in love.
Someone falls in love, and you put yourself out there, and that's also what like young folks within Sequoia are being taught, that like, you know, speak up if you have conviction, like go for it, show how much conviction you have, and it'll rarely be shot down. And of course, you listen. You don't want to go against the rest all the time and get it wrong all the time, because then that, you know, is going to be a challenge. But there's no consensus, and if you are table thumping, then investments are made.
Okay.
And so we often get that question, like, you're torn, you're not sure, because frankly, I find it hard to build conviction. It's a bit of a mental roller coaster. You get positive signals, negative signals. It's always ambiguous. There's never fullness of information. And so then when someone basically says, Peter, take a step back, like, do you love this company, right? Would you love working with them? And you're taking that step and you're like, actually I do. We should go for it. We should dream.
I mean, you said a really interesting thing there, Peter, I think, which is like you put yourself out there. I mean, I think that's something maybe that entrepreneurs maybe forget sometimes, that when an investor brings that deal to the IC, then that investor is sort of almost selling that deal to the rest of the firm. So, what as a founder, you're basically a team. How would you work together with founders on that?
Listen, it differs, and it differs per investor, and even within our team, there's different people that have a different style. I was an operator before. I work very closely with founders. Once I've made up my mind that I like the company and that I want to put them forward, I tend to work with the founder. I tend to guide them, like, how does that IC happen? Like, what will people ask for? Maybe give some pointers around the deck to just make it a tiny bit better, and trying to help them to that. And so it is, in a way, then for the founder to give ammunition for the deal sponsor, so sure, to speak, to get there, right?
Yeah.
Reshma, you want to add to that? Yes.
I'll go back to, and I think in the first part where I sort of said I make a judgment pretty fast, and then, you know, and then I build, right? And Peter's different. So I think therein, in the second part, second bit of what we just talked about, also is what wins is it consensus or lack thereof. Again, within that, you see differences. So you already see the differences, you know, between how we think. And I think that whole point you bring up about partnerships and about a firm. And so we are an individual within a firm, within a brand, within a team. So I think founders forget that sometimes. And so, sometimes, a lot of times it doesn't matter, because you maybe get that one person on your board, and that's great for the long-term journey, but still it's within that firm, right? And so our model actually disagrees with what Peter says, because it doesn't work for our model to have high conviction necessarily. We absolutely do every single investment where there is high conviction, singularly. And for us, that actually doesn't matter in seniority, from our analyst up to the partner. Because remember, again, we invest in 40 companies a year, right? Really, if there's a takeaway for me from this, is like, really understand the different models out there, what works for different funds, what doesn't, you know, how they work, who is the individual, has an individual fit within the whole firm.
Is it a reasonable translation to say know who you're dealing with, like to the entrepreneur, like understand the organization in which you're trying to engage?
Sounds basic, doesn't it? and yet, that is not the work being done. Because I think translating such a basic statement into then what does that mean? It is a lot of hard work. You know, so getting to know that individual, that is the grunt work of that process, into whether it's, you know, seed for us or series A, B, C, D, different parameters to what you need to do the hard work in. But it is a lot of grit to understand who you're going to be working with. So very simple statement.
In Seed Camp, again, just an open question for me, is the background of the person who's looking at the deal have any influence, meaning like I think someone that ran their own company might, may or may not, let me qualify, may or may not look at the deal differently than someone who sort of, you know, we see a lot of people in VC who come at the world through the finance language, and that's perfectly okay. We see success both ways. But is that a difference? Does an operator versus a finance person make any difference in how you look at a deal?
Great question. For us, yes. And I think that's why we build a lot of complement skill sets within, or complement experiences within the team. And so each of the four of us as partners are come from very different backgrounds. Our associate analysts, our intern, like venture partners, EIR, they all come from very different experience sets. So actually on a lot of pitches, we'll include our venture partners as well, because they are often founders, founders coming in and being venture partners with us. And so it's really interesting, the biases around the table and all that. And our job is partly to, you know, cut through that and again, figure out what's the signal from just a lot of noise about that bias. But I think Peter, you were going to jump in on a couple of points.
Couple of points there. You laid out a lot of different variables that a founder needs to think about when he's thinking about like who's on the other side of the table. I think one of the most important things there, also the difference between maybe the process, Reshma, that you talked about is stage. Like if you invest 500K or 50 million, the process is different. And so in the case of a seed fund, you can move very quickly. It's not as much a long-term marriage when you don't take a board director seat, et cetera. And we see that, like we do tickets at 300K, 500K, et cetera. We do 5-6 million, we do 15, 20, we do 50, et cetera, right? But internally, the process is different as well. And so for a $10, $15 million check, will we sometimes offer term sheet in the first meeting? I haven't seen it happen, at least not with me. But for a 500K check, yeah, right? And so know as a founder where you are and what that means in terms of, you know, how much conviction does the investor on the other side need to build to make a 500K decision versus a 5 million versus a 50 million decision. I think that's one interesting thing. The other thing, Reshma—
Has the timeline changed in the last 6 to 8 to 12 months, or, you know, 6 to 8 months with the change in the conditions? Did the timeline onto when the entrepreneur should expect a term sheet, even on a great deal? Because, yeah, there's lots of mythical legends out there of the 1 week turnaround, the few days and the term sheet was there. But has that shifted now that you can be more cautious and careful? Because we all know everyone's being a bit more cautious and careful.
I think it has shifted back to
normal.
Normal, maybe slightly.
I put the word out there just
slightly,
to be clear.
Slightly slower than, like, it's kind of like overreacting a bit. Like 2021, like 2020 and 2021 was so frantic that everyone was hustle and it was just FOMO and speed and people tumbling over each other to invest, etc. And so speed, like we had like late night emails saying like short fuse opportunity. We need to be decide within a day or within 2 days or whatever. And like 11 p.m. we all got on a call together with founders and like crazy stuff like that. Right now it's back to normal, maybe slightly slower than normal. And actually it's all, at least in our part of the world, it's already picking back up to normal and sometimes crazy again. And so it differs. But one thing I wanted to talk about that Reshma talked about is the different biases of investors as well, because you ask your different people, you can say like, hey, what does Sequoia think about X? There is a Sequoia, but there's also like 20 different people in Sequoia. Yeah. And the interesting thing with investors is that they often talk about like patterns and pattern recognition, but that also has a flip side. You also have to know when you have to let go of that. So when you do pattern recognition and you've done two SaaS deals and they both failed and the SaaS founder is pitching you, guess what you're up against, right? You're two nil behind.
You're two for none, right? Or none for
exactly,
two.
Exactly. And so it literally, when I joined Sequoia, a colleague of mine who was very astute, he said, he hates ad tech. He loves this. He doesn't like that. He burned his finger on that. And so whenever you get advice or get guidance, like ask the people who've burned their fingers because they had lessons learned, but also work with the people that can be passionate about something. And that was advice to me as someone on the inside. And that's obviously even more true for the founder, but sometimes hard to figure out. You can look at if people look at the companies I invested in, they see that there's fintech, they see that there's consumer, but they see that 70-80% is B2B and SaaS. Hmm. So if they were to look and do their homework, they know kind of like what they should pitch me versus one of my colleagues who might have also done some SaaS, but might be 70, 80% fintech. So, you can't figure it out.
And one thing that's interesting that you say there is burnt their fingers. So what does that mean? Is that, I mean, if you have a deal and the company in the end goes belly up, then that's a very obvious one. But does that also include other things like missing deals or?
No, because then they might be even more eager to get something going in that category, right? But it could be like the company has gone belly up, or it just could be that the company is still around but just is not going anywhere, or it has been just a very tough ride, or there's been all sorts of like all these companies are roller coasters, right? And some of them are roller coasters and they come up, but many of them or go down or they just continue to, you know.
Hey, look, let me keep us moving. So we'll switch off from conviction onto like working together. You might call it portfolio management. From an entrepreneur, we're like, okay, what's it like when we're working together? Actually, now we're past the deal and we're married and we're living together.
So if we take the rule of thumb there, that's often used in venture capital, where like out of a portfolio around 12 companies, let's say 10, 12, a big chunk of them will fail, a few will do okay-ish, and then one or two will be really good, those outliers. So how do you spot these winners like early on? And maybe also like, how does a company know they're spotted?
Because like within the portfolio working.
Within the portfolio, yeah. Maybe, Peter, you want to go first?
Yeah, it tends to be pretty obvious. Not always obvious quickly, but sometimes it is quick. And specifically with seed, like when we invest seed, Reshma, I guess it's the same for you. Like often it's pre-revenue. Oftentimes it's even pre-product. If it's pre-product, it might take some time. But we've had some companies that, you know, Sequoia invested like sub 10 million pre, and within a year they were raising a Series B at 400 million. And that was based on metrics that were just out of the gate booming, right? Mm-hmm. And so sometimes you seed very quickly. But we've also seen companies that take 2-3 years. And by the way, it's been interesting. Like Sequoia in the US was an investor in Figma, and there's been lots of discussions around Figma recently about how the first few years was all heads down, R&D, product building, doing some very complex stuff under the hood that people might not realize, but ultimately is at the core of some of the success they've had.
Yeah.
And so for some companies, it's not immediately clear, and it will take time. And it's interesting, and it's also a risk, by the way, because sometimes they say spend your time with the winners, but I actually find myself spending a lot of time with the people that are not winning or not winning yet. But you don't know. And sometimes you don't know for years. And one of my colleagues does a lot of, on our internal WhatsApp groups, does a lot of quizzes, and he asks like these questions. On one question he asks, is a company that had raised at a pretty high valuation in 2020 with zero revenue. They started monetizing 3 months ago, and he asked like, and so for a long time we thought like nice, but no revenue.
Yeah.
And he asked like, how much revenue do you think they're doing? And everyone was guessing, and it was 10x higher than the highest guess within our own team, because they scaled in 3 months to a few million of revenue. In 2 or 3 months of monetization. But would you have asked us 4 months ago, we'd said, hey, they've been going for 2 years, there's zero revenue. And it's the trajectory that there are now. And so sometimes it's very clear very soon. And sometimes it might take, Figma example or this example, it might take years before something suddenly starts getting an inflection point. And you never know what an inflection point is.
Or when it will come, or if it will come.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Reshma, for you?
Different, because I think we have that kind of volume and our particular focus area being zero to one journey, zero to 18 months, 24 months time frame, where it's sort of our obsession of focus. Though, you know, we're with our founders all the way, and that first 24 months with us. And so we do have markers, biomarkers almost,
nice.
Of our companies. And we have a set of support systems for your first week, for your first 3 months, for 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, 18, 20, 24 months, and different sort of products and integrating into our network to capitalize on all of that support. You know, how do they work within that set of infrastructures? Who do they lean on for support? how smartly are they working that system? Like those are all, those are all the markers we look for. And we have portfolio review every week. So we are sharing, so some of our companies are getting mentoring on, say, product or marketing or whatnot. Hey, that person just didn't show up. This is the third time they haven't shown up to those office hours. Okay, important. And that's not me as their board observer. It's someone else in the team, telling me that input, right? And then, of course, the quantitative, the KPIs, those are clearer markers. And we share those a dashboard, across the team. And so that portfolio review, though, every week allows us to really check up on, and we do it very fast, obviously, because we're running through a pretty large portfolio.
So it's like a proactive thing on their part is when you say they are calibrating, like they're like, I got to understand where I fit in all of this and how's it working. So
for sure.
You can see the winners maybe quite obviously sometimes, but when not, or even when there is indeed already a winner or not, it's still that you need to keep engaging with your investor, keep them close, show the traction, which is not always like, it can be any signal. It can be a soft booking, indeed, an office hour, those kind of things.
And I mean, I think winner is an interesting one because depends what game you're in, right? Mm. Like we know angels who are wonderful in kind of the first 10 million revenue journey, and they'll want to exit. And get liquidity and be an angel for the next generation of companies, right? We're here, Sequoia's here for us at least sort of IPO, and we'll potentially probably want to need to exit at that point. Sequoia announced, several months ago, they're in it for the longer term. So I think winner also is an interesting term because it's all relative to your entry point as well and the game you're playing, right? And so if you come in with the 100 million check or 200 million check pre-IPO at someone's last round, and within three, four months they go IPO, and 12 months later, as we are in this market, well below that price, is that a winner?
What is winning? What's the finish line thing here?
Exactly.
Now, right?
Yeah. Exactly. And that is just so different for every single for entrepreneurs themselves, to their own team. When it's 1,000 people, it's very different to, different investors around the table.
Evelyn, just one thing to mention. You just phrase it nicely and say, keep your investoring engaged. There was an interesting meme going around like 1 or 2 weeks ago on Twitter.
I love the investor memes, by the way.
Well, yeah. Actually, I'm not sure whether this was an investor or a founder meme. It doesn't really matter. But it was basically saying, like, it was basically depicting this the seed founder that would go to the investor and say, hey, I'm raising my next round, please invest more. But then it was also showing a picture of them never sending updates, never engaging, and then just being frustrated that the investor basically didn't put more money in. And basically the morale of the story was keep your investor engaged and send updates. And this is one of the things we can see a direct correlation in a portfolio. There's certain founders that, like, on the dot, I just know rain or shine on the 15th of the month or the 10th of the 12th, I don't care. But whatever it is, there's consistency in execution. I had a update with one of our seed founders today, last night, always the night before. He sends me an update, same format, super metric driven, very honest. We very much preach this concept that we have in Sequoia.
This transparency.
Called get real, leading with what's not working, but also what's working. And we always get this high quality update the day before we have our monthly catch up. Yeah. And there's people that are never sending that. And it just shows us that either they're not executing or they're not transparent, they're not engaged. Next time, like, it's just going to be harder because you just don't know what's going on.
Well, like, ideally, they're sharing with you what they use to run the business, right? Like, there's like some...
it sounds simple.
Some level of continuity between... if there's a relationship where they don't feel that they're at risk in some way, they should be able to say, like, yeah, I do this monthly update with the team every Monday. I talk to you on Tuesday. We have the same information because it's all this. We all have to see the same thing.
Look, I think it's my job to help companies get into that habit so that Peter... as the investors downstream have a good set of habits and behaviors, but does not necessarily work. We have PPP, which is your every week. Then we move to every month. We move to, so we kind of get in the dashboards and chart mode. Like there's a 101 dashboard and companies out there who built them, right? But if you don't have the discipline and the habit of putting a clean source of truth in there. It's just garbage in, garbage out, but also no garbage at all because you're not doing it.
Joe, you assume there that they have something internally that then they can share transparently. The worry is that they don't. So it has to be data driven. But the key is, and whenever I speak with founders in the early days, one of the first things I said, let's get our reporting in order. But then I say, don't create something because we want. I create something that helps you run the business.
Yeah.
Right? That's valuable for you, that you can course correct, that you see what's working, not then share that with us. Not like Peter wants X or Sequoia wants that or Seedcamp wants this. No, create something that runs and we can show you what other successful SaaS businesses or e-commerce companies have measured.
Right? I think that's great advice. I think we're rounding off right now. So I think maybe supplement to that advice, if there is one thing that you would like founders to know about VC, and this is regardless of sector or the stage that they're in or serial entrepreneur or not, which is the one thing that you've talked to so many founders, you're like, ah, why doesn't this stick?
I think there is sometimes this fear or this perception like, oh, VCs are different or are not approachable, like whatever. Like I'm sure Reshma, same is free. Like there's nothing that you love more than sitting around the table with the founder having coffee and brainstorming, right?
Yep.
And so we're doing a lot of these coffee chats where we're just sitting and don't bring a deck, like don't do a pitch, like let's chat and be open, ask for advice more than anything. And many of the folks who have done that, ultimately you build a relationship, you invest in lines and you end up investing in. Or not, doesn't matter, but you can get wiser. So like see VCs, and might be weird coming from me, but see them more as a resource that you can use as well. Because like if you don't get investment, like you get advice from someone who's seen a lot of companies and you hopefully get some value out of it. And
I mean, so I think like that makes Peter sound really nice. Right. And he is, I'm sure.
And Peter's email is Peter.
And but to be fair, Peter still has only certain hours in the day. Right. And if you're going to stand out to the point he made before of the lady who wrote that email, it grabbed his attention. Right. There was so it is again, the how to me is like ask for advice. But not sort of, hey, what kind of business model do you not that, right?
True. I have an idea.
I have an idea. It's, hey, I love your advice. We're considering these three ways based on what our users told us of what's really important about the features we built. And so we're thinking this, that, or that. What do you see at the pros and cons? That kind of advice versus, hey, we have some users, they like it a lot. And what business model would you put
thank
in
you
front
for clarifying
of,
right? That. That's very
you just saved Peter's inbox there.
So as much as like, you know, we will say that, of course we say that we sound nice, but then I think there is the gap between we sound nice, but then we seem impossible to talk to. And that's where it is like, look, you need to have a quality conversation, high quality conversation at the end of the day, right? Not just
that. Whatever the communication tool or platform you choose, it still needs to be a high quality conversation, email or whatever you do. Hey, look, everybody, mindful of everyone's time. Let's just say thanks a lot, Reshma. Thanks a lot. So candid, open. I loved it. It's really nice and fresh for us. And Peter, same for you. It was really wonderful to spend a little bit of time with us. As you know, we set out today to kind of try to help entrepreneurs get some good information. I think one of the things we retained was like, there's some basics and there's some obvious stuff. Like if you just were to stop and ask yourself that question, you'll probably make some better choices. And thank you, co-host extraordinaire, for joining on the topic.
Great title. Thank you.
Yeah. And then guys, I think we'll call it right there. And thanks a lot.
Thank you for listening to The Scale Lab, a podcast brought to you by TechLeap. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and if you did, please share it on your network via social media and give us your feedback. See you on the next episode.